Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John chapter 13 and beginning at the 31st verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we think about your word this day, we pray that you would open our hearts and help us to grow in love. In your name we pray. Amen. Would you like to have a seat? Now I've got a question for you.
Hope you get the answer.
I hope he gets the answer. Who are you?
Peter.
Prove it.
You said you only had one question.
There you go, I'm asking that. Prove it. How can I be sure that you're Peter?
Well, it's difficult to do.
Ah. You just happen to carry that with you, don't you? Come on then, smarty pants. What's your name?
Which one do you want, the shorter version or the longer one?
We better have the proper one.
Jennifer.
Prove it. How do I know that you're really Jennifer? Come on, does anybody actually know? How do we really know?
Everyone calls me that.
Yeah, but, you know. How can I be really sure that you're Jennifer? It's hard, isn't it?
You can't ask my mummy or my dad.
There you go. I'll try somebody else then. I'll say, just say the crowd up at St Matthew's were a bit more resourceful, but that's all right. I've had a go at this already then. Come on, who are you then? What's your name?
I'm Virginia.
Yes, and prove it.
I've got documents to show it.
Yeah, go on then. Come on then. It's got to be photo ID though. So it needs a photo. It needs a photo on it, doesn't it? Just yeah. Passport would be acceptable. Yeah.
But I've got lots of.
How do we?
Will know that I'm.
Oh, see, well, that's okay. That's a good. Yeah. Lots of people here who would vouch for her. Nobody else has tried that. Yeah. Will you vouch for her? Is this who is she? Who she says she is?
Yes, she is.
Oh, look. Oh. Vicar's not supposed to sow the seed of doubt, is he? Come on, Ian.
All right.
Prove it. Come on, how do we really know? Like,
so I've got some.
Heather's sitting there looking worried now, because if you can't, you know.
Is that
I don't know, what do you think, Robin? Will we let him have that? So yes. It's good. It's not bad, actually. Wish my driver's license for it.
Yes, a few years ago.
Have you ever struggled to prove who you are? When we first moved back from England 2 years ago, it's just 2 years ago next week, I think we started here, we had this terrible situation where we had to prove who we were. And to prove who you are in Australia, you need to have photo ID. You've got to get 100 points for most things, don't you? Well, I couldn't get to 100 points. I had a passport. I had a British driver's license, which they weren't very happy about. But anyway, it had my photo and my ID on it. I live in a house that doesn't have it doesn't have post come to the house, so I get no mail with my name on it or address on it, so no bills or utilities or anything with my name on it, and so I couldn't produce those. Even if I had one, we hadn't been here long enough. What else do we have to do? And no agreement from a landlord, because I haven't got a landlord, have I? Our vicarage is a strange creatures. Prove who you are. And I couldn't. And actually, to be allowed to do this job, I had to have what's called, you've got to have a working with children clearance. And I had to have that, and I couldn't prove 100 points at the post office who I was. And I kept thinking, what am I going to do? And the lady saw me coming in 3 or 4 times, and even just wearing the collar to say that I was, that didn't do anything. That didn't make her take my word for it. And we rang up the Working with Children people to see what we could do about this. And they said, well, he just can't get 100 points. We believe he's who he says he is, but we can't get 100 points. And she said, here's the phone. I said, well, what do I do? And I told them the whole story. And it was just about not having any history. If you've got no history in a place, it's really hard to prove who you are. So we can actually take these people's word for it because they've got history here, haven't they? We know them. We won't go into the history, but we know them, all right? And so one of the ways to prove who you are is by being known. Yeah, actually, none of you up here could vouch for me because you'd only just met me, so that wasn't going to work. And I have to say, maybe I should switch the recording off for this, but I was a bit astonished, actually, how I got to prove who I was. So finally the people on the phone said, and this was for a Working with Children's clearance, mind you, they said, oh, well, do you, because I explained no land, I said, well, does anybody else live in the house with you? And I said, well, yes, my wife and my children. Oh, well, get your wife to write a note that says you live with her and sign it, and we'll take that as a rental agreement, they said. And I was, so does she have to come and prove who she is then? Oh no, they didn't need that. So the short answer is, if you can't prove who you are, get a note from mother, okay? That's the short answer. I did actually complain because I think that's a bit dodge, really, given what I was trying to get a clearance for. But the point of this is, it's hard to prove who you are, isn't it? Really hard to prove who you are. So question time again. He's got a nice cross around his neck, hasn't he? That's good. Have you seen Rod's always got his cross around his neck? What's that about then?
Telling everybody I believe in Christ.
Oh, prove it. Prove it. See, if you've been paying attention this morning, you know how to prove it. Prove it. The cross around his neck, does that prove it?
Well, not many people wear it.
Well, sadly, see, the other thing you do is you have a wife, don't you? Is that Hillary's just said it, you've got to love one another, don't you? So this morning, as Jesus is getting ready to say farewell to the disciples, because this part of John's gospel is where Jesus is getting ready to say goodbye to his friends. They've had the Last Supper, Judas has left the room to betray him. And Jesus knows, this is Thursday night, Jesus knows that the next day he'll go to the cross and he's going to die. And he's saying goodbye to his friends. And in the middle of all of this, he says to them, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. By this will everyone know that you are my disciples. So that's the badge you need, that's the credentials you need. Now, have a bit of a look at the people around you. Go on, have a look. Have a look. What do you think? Do you love them? Do you love them? Because that's what Jesus is telling us to do, to love one another. Have a bit of a look again. Do you feel loved? Is it easy to love? Not always, is it? We have to be honest and say, not always. But Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. There was too much to cram onto the notice sheet this morning, but I wanted to put a cartoon on the bottom that I found. And it's from a little cartoon strip called Angus Day, which is about some sheep that are always talking about their faith in Jesus. And these little sheep on this cartoon strip are reading this verse. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. And one of the sheep is looking and going, and he's pouring through the pages of the book, and he's going, but it has to be here somewhere. He says, there has to be a clause for jerks, he said. Surely I'm not expected to love people that I don't like. And so it's easy to love people that you like, isn't it? But what about people that you don't like? Or what about if the people... Maybe you love them because they're family or they're close friends, but maybe they're doing stuff that you really don't like. That's a bit harder, isn't it? Or Or actually, maybe they're just being full-on horrible and nasty and obnoxious and impossible to love. Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. And it's really powerful that it comes where it comes now, because it comes at the end of the Last Supper. Jesus is not saying that love is easy. Do you remember, I think it was last week, I said love is not about feelings, it's a word of action. When Jesus tells us to love, he doesn't just want us to feel all warm and fuzzy. Have a look around again. Do they all make you feel warm and fuzzy when you look around the room? Do you get a nice glow in your heart when you look at all these people? That's nice. But Jesus is not talking about that kind of love. He's talking about a kind of love. The Greek word for it is agape. He's talking about agape love. It's the kind of love that sticks even when people are hard to love, even when they're in your face and horrible. It's the kind of love that Jesus has for us. He loves us no matter what. And so think about where Jesus gives this commandment. Judas is leaving the room to betray him. Do you think he loves what Jesus is about to do? Do you think Jesus is happy about that? Not really. Do you think he's looking forward to being betrayed by Judas? Not really. Does he love Judas? No question about it. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say that Jesus removes his love from Judas. Because Jesus has taught them, hasn't he, to love their neighbour as themselves. He's taught them to love their enemies. And now he's saying goodbye to his group of friends. He's not talking about everybody out there. He's saying, you people should love one another, just as I have loved you. Well, how does Jesus love us? He forgives us. He goes to the cross. He dies for us. He lays down his life for us. The disciples have yet to discover the length of Jesus' love, but they have witnessed a Lord who does amazing things out of love, who's even washed their feet. Love one another as I have loved you. That's the badge by which everyone will know that you are my disciple. So if you claim to wear the name Christian, remember, it should be evident in the way that you love others. But it's a difficult task, and Jesus is about to be betrayed. But it doesn't have to be strong as being betrayed and turned over to the authorities. And because look what happens at the end of this passage. Just after where today's reading finishes, Peter comes along, and Jesus tells the disciples that in a little while they'll see him no more. And Peter says, "Where are you going, Lord?" Jesus says, "I'm going where you cannot go," he said. And Peter says, "I'll go with you anywhere, Lord. I'll even die for you." This is one of Jesus' best mates. And Jesus says, "Peter, before the cock crows three times this night, you will deny that you know me." And in fact, all of the disciples, when Jesus is arrested, all of them run away and let him down. So even people that we're close to can let us down. But does Jesus remove his love? No, he doesn't. Because Jesus' love is bigger than what people do. Jesus' love is unconditional. He loves us because we're children of God, because God made us. He loves us not because of who we are and what we do. He loves us because of who we can be. And that's why he goes to the cross, because he wants to remove our sin so that we can be who we fully should be. A new commandment he gives, I give to you, he says, love one another as I have loved you. Have a look around this group of people in the building again. This is your church family. Think of your other members of your church family. Would you die for them? Would you die for them? Because that's what our Lord did for us. Love one another as I have loved you. And in Jesus dying, he gives us life. And in loving one another, in extending our love and generosity and grace and forgiveness to others, we give life to people around as well. When people hurt us, we can choose to fight with them and squabble with them and make the hatred and the hurt get bigger. Or we can choose to forgive and act in love, even when it's not deserved. The word is grace. We sing Amazing Grace. Grace is love when it's not deserved. That's what Jesus gives to us, grace that we don't deserve. When we love like that, we give life, and we set people free, and we set ourselves free, And that's how Jesus loved us. Love one another as I have loved you. By this will everyone know that you are my disciples. So, and you don't have to tell me, you don't have to put your hands up and give me a score, but score yourself out of 1 to 10. How do you go at loving others? Ever feel like you're letting the Lord down? I do. But I know that he loves me and he forgives me. And every time I do and I confess my sins and say sorry, he gives me life and he says, Andrew, it's all right. I know you can do better. Try again. And because he loves me, he gives me life. And he does the same for each of us. And all we need to do is turn to him. Jesus is about to go and pay the ultimate price for us on the cross. This is Thursday night. The next day, he will go to the cross. And that's terrible, what happens on the cross. But it's not the end, because what we celebrate in this Easter season, and it's still Easter, in case you didn't know, it's still Easter. In this Easter season, we celebrate the gift of life. And that's what Jesus gives us, and that's why he tells us to love one another. A new commandment I give to you. Problem is, it's not a new commandment, is it? It's 2,000 years old now, isn't it? It's not a new commandment, isn't it? And sometimes I think, if we're honest, it gets a bit tarnished, doesn't it, in the church, this commandment. We're a bit comfortable and familiar. We like to hear about it. But even in the church, we're not always the best at loving one another. And that's why we need to dust it off and polish it up and get it out once more. A new commandment. This is a new command. This is what Jesus expects of us. Love one another as I have loved you. It's a really big challenge, but in his power and with his Holy Spirit, we can do it. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of love. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us everything we need, including the gift of your Holy Spirit, that we might live and love as you call us to do. Thank you for calling us to be a people who are distinctive in this world, who know how to practice love and forgiveness. Lord, may the way we share our love with each other be a light and a beacon to the community around us, to your love for us. In your name we pray. Amen.